Hello, my name is Sophie, and I'm joined by Jack, and we're your student teachers for today. And we're joined by our teacher, Mrs. Fenn, here in the walking classroom. We're so happy that you're able to listen to us while on another educational walk with the walking classroom. Remember that as you walk, only one ear should be covered with an earbud or headphone so that you are still able to maintain an awareness of your surroundings.
Your pace should be brisk, and make sure that you stay with your group. So many good things happen to your body as you walk. Your body gets the exercise it needs, your heart starts pumping faster to deliver oxygen-rich blood to all your muscles and your brain, and research has proven that after people exercise, they feel happier, more focused, energized, and ready to learn even more.
It's all good, so let's go.
Before we get started, I've got something I want to get off my chest.
You're wearing a t-shirt. Why do you want to take it off?
What? I don't.
But you said you wanted to get something off your chest, and the only thing I can see on your chest is an orange t-shirt.
I didn't mean I wanted to actually remove something off my chest. I meant I wanted to tell you something.
Well then, why didn't you just say, I want to tell you something?
Well, I guess I could have, but then the introduction wouldn't have been as interesting for our listeners. And you know, I'm nothing if not interesting.
Right. Nicely played. Anyway, Mr. Interesting. Our topic for today's walk is idioms. When you said you wanted to get something off your chest, that's not what you meant at all. You meant you wanted to tell us something, and I have to say, I'm glad you kept your t-shirt on.
Me too. I guess my important announcement can wait. Moving on. The word idiom comes from the Greek word idios, which translates to one's own. The modern definition of idiom is a group of words that, when put together, have nothing to do with what the phrase is really intended to mean. So, for example, what would you think if I said, my pet hamster kicked the bucket?
I would think that your pet hamster died.
Exactly. Thankfully, Pookie Poo is still alive and well. But if she were to kick the bucket, or die, I would be very sad. However, if kick the bucket really meant kick the bucket, it would be cool if I could teach her to kick mini hamster buckets around her cage, maybe try to aim the kick and score a few goals on her spinny wheel. My point is, imagine a person who has no familiarity with the English language at all. If he heard me talking about my hamster kicking the bucket, he would probably be pretty impressed with the talent he believed my hamster to have.
It's a pretty hilarious image that I have in my mind of Pookie Poo kicking a little red bucket about the size of my pencil eraser. Well, knock on wood that your hamster is living a long and happy life.
Nice insert. You did it again.
Oh, I'm all about idioms. It's almost like you're speaking a secret language or one's own, like we talked about earlier. Idioms have been around as long as writing and speaking have been around. People would sometimes just make them up while they were writing to add interest and make the reader think a little more. And sometimes, idioms came as a result of a culture's customs. Often, we don't know where an idiomatic expression came from.
Right. For example, we understand that when somebody says, knock on wood, they are trying to keep away bad luck. But the history of the expression is unclear. Meanwhile, we do know that the idiom kick the bucket originated from England over 500 years ago. A criminal who was going to be hanged as punishment had to stand on a bucket while a noose was placed around his neck. Somebody would then kick the bucket and the criminal would die. The expression lives on today.
Very impressive. I see that you two have been doing your homework.
Aw, idioms are a piece of cake.
So you think understanding idioms is easy, huh? Well, what if I told you that idioms are a piece of pizza?
But that doesn't make any sense.
Well, to you, a native English speaker, it doesn't make any sense to say anything is a piece of pizza. But it makes perfect sense to you to say that something is a piece of cake or an easy thing to do. An important thing to remember about idiomatic phrases is that they are only meaningful if you correctly use all the words in the understood phrase. For example, we know that if we say something is a piece of cake, we're saying it's easy. But to a person not so familiar with the English language, something being a piece of cake is just as silly sounding as something being a piece of pizza. And neither phrase could possibly mean that something is easy.
I see your point. Do historians know where the term piece of cake came from?
Well, there are a few different theories on where that expression came from, but most are related to cake being an easy thing to eat, enjoy, and finish without much effort. Therefore, things that are easy are said to be a piece of cake.
Do all languages have idioms?
That's a great question. I don't know about all languages, but I think most do. I have a few idioms from various places around the world. You guys want to give them a try?
Yes.
Okay. Forgive my pronunciation on these, but I'll give it my best shot. What do you think it means when a Japanese person says yokomeshi, which is literally translated to a sideways meal?
I would say that it means someone is eating while lying down.
Well, I'm sort of hungry right now, so I'm going to guess that it means eating your meal in the wrong order. Dessert first, then the meal, then the salad.
It's tough, right? Neither of you grew up speaking Japanese, so you're having a difficult time coming up with the real meaning of the phrase. To tell you the truth, I wouldn't have guessed correctly either. A sideways meal means that a Japanese person has had a meal with a foreigner. Do they sit sideways or lie down while eating? I suppose they could, but probably not. The origin of the expression comes from the fact that the Japanese write vertically or up and down, while many other cultures write horizontally, back and forth, sideways. So to have a sideways meal means that a Japanese person has dined with a foreigner.
If you said a back and forth meal, I'm sure Japanese people would have looked at you like they had no idea what you were talking about.
Exactly. Just like a three-point shot in basketball being a piece of pizza doesn't make any sense.
Well, a three-point shot isn't exactly a piece of cake either.
True. Do you have any others?
Absolutely. Try this one. I'm not hanging noodles on your ears.
That sounds so embarrassing. Can you imagine sitting in class or at dinner with long noodles hanging from your ears? That would be mortifying. Okay, I say hanging noodles from your ears means to try and embarrass someone. Like if my mom started to dance at a school fundraiser or something, she would see me turning beet red and say, "Oh, Sophie, I'm not hanging noodles on your ears. I'm just enjoying the music and having a good time."
That's a good guess. I'm going to say that hanging noodles on someone's ears means that somebody really messed something up. Everybody knows that noodles are supposed to go inside your mouth, not hung on someone's ears. So maybe if you really did something wrong, you would say that you hung noodles on someone's ears. I'm thinking of the story my dad told me about the first time he played baseball. He wasn't the sporty type and had never played baseball until he was in high school. He was at bat and hit the first ball that was pitched to him. He was so surprised that he forgot what he was supposed to do. And when everybody started yelling, "Run!" he ran to third base. I imagine that would have been a good time for him to say, "I really hung noodles on my ears," to let people know he understood he messed up.
Jack, that's a great story. And you bring up a great point, which I'm going to address in a minute. But in Russia, if you say to someone, "I'm not hanging noodles on your ears," it means that you're being serious, that what you're saying might sound incredible or unbelievable, but it's true. So let's say that after his less than impressive baseball start, Jack's dad realizes that he really likes the game and he ends up being really talented at it. Years later, when he's a professional Russian baseball player and tells the story of his first baseball game, he might begin it with, "I'm not hanging noodles on your ears. I ran to third base the first time I hit the ball." With idioms, you need to be really careful to use the phrase as it is commonly understood. For example, when Jack was telling the story, he said his dad might have said, "I hung noodles on my ears." But that's not the common phrasing of the idiom. People don't hang noodles from their own ears. Somebody does it to somebody else. The actual saying is, "I'm not hanging noodles from your ears." Russian people hearing the story might not have any idea what Jack's dad was talking about if he said, "I hung noodles on my ears." They might just think he's weird.
I get why it's important to use the correct phrasing. My older sister was asked if she wanted to go to the arcade a few weeks ago, and she told her friend no because it wasn't her cup of tea. Her friend knew that she meant video games weren't really her thing. But if my sister had said the arcade wasn't her cup of soda, the friend would have been just like, "Huh?"
Well, friends, I don't want to be a wet blanket, but I'm wearing my heart on my sleeve, and am sad to see our time together coming to an end. I'm sure your teacher wants to leave no stone unturned while discussing idioms back in the real classroom. So kick up your heels as you kill two birds with one stone. Enjoy the remainder of your walk while you learn. Be sure to take the bull by the horns and fight tooth and nail to learn as much as possible about whatever interests you, even if it's off the beaten path, and you'll have a field day sharing information off the top of your head. Your friends may think you're off your rocker, but stick to your guns.
Really, Jack? Really?
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Jack, you're quite the idiom maniac, and I'm not hanging noodles from your ears.
My gosh, I'm drowning in idioms over here. Just remember, friends, idioms are groups of words that have very different meanings than what the individual words themselves mean. Hold your horses might be said to a child running down the school hallway, even though there are no horses to be found for miles around. Idioms are only meaningful when the group of words is presented as that specific group of words, which can sometimes be pretty tricky for people less familiar with the language than native speakers. Idioms are found in most languages and can be pretty hysterical and confusing to think about literally.
Well done, Sophie.
Enjoy the rest of your walk and try to think about idioms that you or people you know regularly use. We look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Hey, wait! We never did find what it was that you wanted to get off your chest.
Oh, right. Thanks for remembering. My mind is so filled with idioms that now I forgot what I wanted to say. I guess that's just the way the ball bounces.
You're relentless.
What can I say?
Students, while you're walking, review the following idioms with a person from your class and see if you can figure out what they mean. You're full of hot air. I'll eat my hat. He has a real chip on his shoulder. She can't hold a candle to him. He jumped out of the frying pan and into the fire. Please don't split hairs. And finally, still waters run deep. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're happy to have you along.
Happy trails!